What I want to talk about this morning is basically, in a larger sense, what you just heard. When I was trying to figure out what to call the sermon, because now on Thursday morning I'm supposed to send out a title, which means that I actually have to plan what I'm going to say before I say it, I decided to call it something obscure. And those of you who receive the weekly emails that say what the sermon is going to be got an email said the sermon title of the week is going to be The Agenbite of Inwit. And unless you are a devoted reader of James Joyce's Ulysses, you probably didn't know what that was. But actually, it's Joyce's twist on a medieval phrase, and if you parse it carefully, you will figure out what it is. Agen is like again. Agenbite is the second bite, or the twice bite, or the repeated bite of in wit, of your thought or intellect inside you, what bites your intellect inside you over and over again, what we call your conscience. This is what Joyce says in Ulysses about Leopold Bloom's character. They wash and tub and scrub, agenbite of inwit, conscience, misery, misery. When you think about what it is that you've done that you ought not to have done, you feel miserable or ashamed or uncomfortable, which is why we don't spend very much time thinking about it. When you hear that people are suffering halfway around the world, it makes you uncomfortable. So you don't want to hear about it. I could hear the unspoken thought, I don't come to services on Saturday morning to hear terrible things are happening to people halfway across the world. But of course you do. We come here to revive the agenbite of inwit, to remember that our lives are comfortable and easy, and yet despite that fact, we do things wrong all the time, and we should think about it. We hurt people with our words, with our actions, with our indifference, with our callousness all the time, and we're supposed to think about it. We're supposed to bite our consciences again and again and again, and it's supposed to hurt. We're supposed to think about the fact that, yes, we are very fortunate, but much of the world is not, and that imposes a certain responsibility. I hope when Keen Omar stood up here and talked to you about what was happening in her country, that your mind went back to those few voices of the Jewish people who would go around the world and speak in synagogues and churches about what was going on in Nazi Germany. And I'm sure that many of the people they spoke to had that reaction. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear about other people's troubles. I don't want to hear about assaults on women halfway across the world. But we should be afflicted by the agenbite of inwit. We have to hear because we have to know. Because even though we divide ourselves up into all sorts of groups, everybody is a human being before they are something else. You may or may not know that this was how the International Red Cross started. The man who started the International Red Cross was walking across a battlefield, and something struck him. At his feet were thousands of wounded soldiers, some of them dead, some of them horribly wounded. And as he looked, he realized that he couldn't really distinguish who was on what side of the battle. And he thought, a human being in pain is a human being in pain, and there should be an organization that takes care of people in pain wherever they're from. In other words, he was afflicted by that agenbite of inwit. He thought, how can I just walk through this field and not take care of anybody who's in agony at my feet? We learned this morning in the Parsha that Jacob was afraid and distressed. And the rabbis ask, why does it say he was both afraid and distressed? And their answer is, he was afraid lest he be hurt. And he was distressed lest he hurt others. In other words, conscience, which does not destroy self-interest, but doesn't let you stop at self-interest. Because the world is not only about ourselves or our families or our circle or our tradition or our people or our country. It's about something larger. And we know that atrocities happen in this world not because of the leaders, because leaders don't commit atrocities. They happen because of the followers. Not because somebody decides one day to give orders that are cruel, but because there are always people who will carry it out, because they're not sufficiently bothered by their conscience to say no. And because we know, ultimately, that more evil in this world has been done as a result of obedience than as a result of rebellion. And you have to be very careful whom you obey. I don't have to tell you. Nobody has to tell any Jew how dangerous obedience to orders can be. That was, as you know, the Nuremberg excuse. I was just following orders. In Rabbi Schulweis's book on conscience, he points out that the Hebrew word for conscience, matzpun, is tied to the word for hiddenness, like tzafun in the Passover Seder when you hide the matzah. But it also resembles the modern word for compass, matzben. So he says, your conscience is your hidden compass. You can't see it, but it tells you which way to go. And the only way that you can distort it, or the principal way, is by ignoring it. Is by closing your eyes and ears to human suffering and pain. By ignoring the things that you do that you ought not to do. By forgetting that even in the Torah, conscience plays an important role. Not only do human beings not only follow orders, they don't always follow God. When God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom, Abraham yells at God, challenges him. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo ya'aseh mishpat. You're the judge of everything. Are you going to do this terrible thing? When God tells Moses he's going to wipe out the Jewish people, Moses says, you may not do that. And if you insist on doing it, wipe me out too, because I don't want to live to see it. We take conscience seriously, and we try not to allow it to be quiet. It's why every morning there's a confessional in the service. You don't only confess on Yom Kippur, you confess every day. Because conscience needs constant awakening, constant awareness. We lead very good lives. We don't live in a place where there is war, where there is famine, where there is unchecked disease, where we have fear of invading armies or of native armies. In human history, we have won the lottery. But that being the case, it is our responsibility to make sure that others one day get what we have. All over the world. All over the world. The reason that we're taking this trip with AJWS to Thailand is so we can do something for people who need us. Yes, our first responsibility as Jews is to the Jewish community, but it is not our only responsibility. We also have a responsibility to the human community. Because God knows when we were suffering, we asked the world to help us. We asked all people of conscience to come to our aid. Too few did, but some did. And that's the cry of every human being who suffers. People of conscience, help me. I hope that we are people of conscience, that we take seriously the sufferings of others, that we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help, that we model that for our children. In the Talmud, we are told that the children of Israel are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, compassionate people and the children of compassionate people. And then a rabbi adds, and if you are not compassionate, you do not deserve to be called Israel. Compassion knows no boundaries, no borders, no tribes, and no groups. It comes from the Hebrew word rechem, which means womb. As a mother for an unborn child that is helpless and entirely dependent, rachamim, compassion. You just heard a beautiful plea for our compassion upon people who are suffering. Let's remember when we needed the world's compassion and be rachmanim. Be compassionate people, people of conscience, people who do not turn away. Shabbat shalom.